Did Bob McCown just say what I think he said? You can rewind Primetime Sports Podcast when you subscribe at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Sports addiction. Sports obsession. You can't diagnose it as a problem issue when your career is sports. Bob McCown in Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome to Primetime Sports for Thursday, July 30th, the day before the Major League Baseball non-waiver trade deadline. So just imagine that. There's still 24 hours to go, and Alex Anthopoulos still has his trusty BlackBerry or his trusty iPhone with him. There's still time for him to do more, although it would be pretty hard to see him, Alex Anthopoulos, doing anything that would match what he has done in the past 72 hours. After acquiring Troy Tulowitzki from the Colorado Rockies, Alex Anthopoulos went out today and acquired the premier pitcher on the pitching market, on the trade market, in David Price from the Detroit Tigers. The cost was high. It was prospects Daniel Norris, Jairo LeBour, and Matt Boyd. But again, David Price was the best pitcher on the trade market. He is a game changer. Most of what Alex Anthopoulos has done in the past couple of years has worked out, hasn't it? I mean, I know one deal that certainly worked out. That was the deal that brought Josh Donaldson to Toronto as a Blue Jays third baseman. And Josh Donaldson joins us right out of the gate on Primetime Sports. Josh, thanks a lot for doing this.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jeff.
Just your reaction today when you found out, I presume the way a lot of us did, Josh, just by following Twitter or on social media, when you found out that David Price was a new teammate.
Yeah, I saw it on there. I didn't know if I should believe it or not, especially kind of with what happened the other day with a couple other teams. You kind of don't want to get your hopes up for something like that, and then it fall through. But with that being said, when it was confirmed and all the sources cleared out and said that it was a deal, you know, you get very excited. It's an exciting time to be a Blue Jay and to be a fan of the Blue Jays, I believe. And you just have I think Alex has just done a great job of acquiring not only the talent that he's acquired, but the quality of talent. I mean, you're talking about Troy Tulowitzki, who's been known around the game for probably as the best shortstop in the game. And then you go out and get David Price, who the guy's a Cy Young Award winner, you know, just eats innings up and is known to be a winner.
In conversation with Josh Donaldson of the Toronto Blue Jays on Primetime Sports. All right, we've seen him pitch. A lot of us have seen him pitch throughout his career, following him from the time he came up with Tampa in the American League East. You've had to face him. Tell me what makes David Price such a good pitcher and so difficult to face?
Well, his repertoire of pitches is just very dynamic. He's got pitches that are moving both ways. You know, he brings it up 93, 95. Occasionally, you might see a few pitches a little bit higher than that with a little bit of drilling going. But with that being said, the guy is just, he's a competitor. He goes out there, he knows how to win. And, you know, He's one of those guys that's known not only for being a great pitcher, but a great teammate, and I think that's very important.
Josh, what was the clubhouse like today when you got there? And, news of this had become official, and, you know, Alex had his news conference. What was that clubhouse like? Put us in a clubhouse when a team has just gone out and, you know, acquired a game changer.
Well, everybody's excited. I mean, everybody... There's not every team gets to go out there and say they acquired a guy like David Price. And when your GM goes out there and, you know, gets the deal done, which is, you know, very important. I mean, not only I mean, there was a lot of speculations of, you know, him getting Alex talking about a lot of guys and this and that, but, you know, he went out there and made this happen. And, you know, I know the team is excited to go out there and play and, you know, ready to lay it on the line. And hopefully this has some more victories.
When you came to Toronto, when the deal with Oakland was made and you knew you were going to be a Blue Jay, did you imagine you'd be getting into a situation where you'd be with a team that, you know, had a general manager with the potential to make this type of move? Because this is a pretty ballsy transaction. Let's just put it out. There's a pretty ballsy transaction for a GM.
Yeah, I mean, he's putting his neck out on the line for this. You know, as a player, you respect that. And, you know, when a GM goes, he's going to battle for you in this manner, you know, you want to reward him for that. And, you know, obviously, I felt that Alex was up to this because he was able to pull off a trade with Billy. And, you know, Billy's, you know, not – I wouldn't imagine he's probably one of the easiest guys to trade with. You know, he's predominantly one of those guys who, you know, does a lot of research and puts a lot of time into things that way. So I know that right there sending the message that if Alex wants to get something done, he's going to get it done.
Josh, one of the things with Troy Tulowitzki, and I think Troy cleared this up yesterday, but initially I think some people wondered just how welcoming Troy Tulowitzki would be of a deal to Toronto. I mean, look, he'd spent his whole career in Colorado and Denver. His family was well established there. What are you going to tell Troy Tulowitzki, or, you know, let him know about Toronto insofar as being a place to live and a place to play? Because, you know, you seem to really hit the ground running here. In addition to the ballpark, you seem to really like the city. How could you sell Troy Tulowitzki on this city if you had to?
Well, I mean, I've already had conversations about Toronto and about this. And, you know, I tried to make it a point the day that he was traded, or the day after he was traded. You know, I wanted to get on the phone with him and chat with him and make sure he was taken care of and this and that. And, you know, first and foremost, I wanted him to know that, you know, this is a team that's hungry to win, and I know he's been hungry to win for a while now. And second of all, you know, the city of Toronto is, in my opinion, this isn't me being biased or anything like that. I felt this way before I was traded here. I feel like the city of Toronto is one of the best major league cities to be a part of. And just, I mean, it's a great atmosphere, great environment, great city to be in. And, you know, another thing, just kind of on a side note, I told him after last night, I said, hey, man, I said, you probably hadn't had this much protection since Todd Helton left.
I love
it. And I told him, you hadn't seen this many fastballs since you were a rookie in this league. So I definitely think he's gonna enjoy hitting in this lineup and being a part of this team. And, you know, it's only been one game, and you can see how this guy's a game changer. He can impact the game not only with a bat, but in the field too. He made some really nice plays yesterday, which was, I know it, this game of baseball is crazy. I mean, I probably could have told you this before the game, the first guy of the game is going to hit a ground ball to him. That's just how the game of baseball works. And, you know, to get that first one out of the way right away, makes a nice play on a speedy runner. You know, I could see right after that, you know, it was kind of like that deep breath, okay, sinks it. Now we're just playing the game. And, you know, next at bat goes, hits a bomb, two-run jack, and then a couple of doubles after that, nice couple plays. And, you know, it was very exciting to watch him play yesterday.
Josh, I'm going to go let you go and get ready for the game tonight. Go get him, and thanks for your time.
All right, guys, thanks a lot.
It's Josh Donaldson of the Toronto Blue Jays. I love that, going to Troy Tulowitzki and saying you probably haven't had this type of protection in the lineup since Todd Helton was playing. You know what? He probably hasn't. So again, just to reset, in case there are those of you out there who are kind of going, why? David Price is a member of the Toronto Blue Jays. He was acquired this morning around noon for Daniel Norris. Yes, the pitching prospect who lived in the van down by the river. Hiro Labour, a big, hard-throwing, left-handed pitcher. And Matt Boyd, who, if you remember, Matt Boyd was up here earlier this year. He's a guy that's kind of almost a stealthy guy, a guy who was moved up through the Blue Jays minor league system. In return, the Jays are getting David Price. He is a rental player. He is a free agent at the end of the year. He is a free agent who is probably going to be asking for something in the neighborhood of $220, $230 million over 6 or 7 years. You know, never mind the money. You know that the Blue Jays under Paul Beeston have a philosophy of not giving out more than 5-year contracts. But I'll just tell you this right now. It's possible. David Price is a smart guy. David Price is a great teammate. David Price has he's one of those guys that has the ability to really like wherever he is. I don't know if that makes sense. It's a rarity in a professional athlete. You never heard David Price complain about Tampa, about small crowds. I mean, he pointed out everything now and then, but you never got the sense that David Price was agitating to get out of Tampa. Similarly, when he was in Detroit. You never got that that sense from David Price. So, I mean, there's a chance he likes it here. But I would think there's a greater chance that he goes out as a free agent and essentially goes to the place where the money is the highest. And in other words, he's either going to end up with the Los Angeles Dodgers or perhaps the New York Yankees. But all that aside, the Jays have him for the next 2 months. It works out to about 12 starts. Three of those could be against the New York Yankees. The Jays have 13 games left against the Yankees. And David Price is a guy who hasn't lost a game at the Rogers Center. He's had some rough starts at the Rogers Center, but he hasn't been the losing pitcher at the Rogers Center. He is, or was, the best pitcher available at the trade deadline. Make no mistake, he was the nuclear weapon of the Major League Baseball trade deadline. See what the rest of baseball is saying about this deal. Fran Charles of MLB Network joins us in primetime sports. Hello, Fran.
Jeff, what's going on?
Slow day, man.
Everything that you're saying, and you're spot on. I mean, it's all good stuff. Must be a great day in Toronto. Blue Jays are back, baby, no doubt.
What do you think? What do you think people like Andrew Friedman, Brian Cashman, in particular, are thinking right now? Because I think, Fran, most people have said that it came down to the Yankees, Blue Jays, and Dodgers. What do you think those other two general managers are thinking right now?
Well, I mean, they've been in the game long enough to know that you're going to win some and you're going to lose some. I just listened to Blue Jays GM Alex Anthopoulos. We ran some of his news conference on MLB Network. And basically, you know, he told Dave Dombrowski, he said, look, keep us in the loop. No matter if you're thinking about and you're moving Price, because obviously the Tigers weren't sure, I think, if they were going to be buyers or sellers. But if you guys change your mind and decide you're going to be sellers, just please just give me a shout. And he said his phone, he had given up, but then his phone rang at about 11:30 at night. So I think it all goes back to what those other GMs were willing to part with. And I think Alex, you know, smartly realized that the time to strike is now. I mean, it's been 20 years or close to, 1993, mm-hmm. the last time the Blue Jays were in the postseason. So, and you're right, David Price, make no mistake about it. We didn't know if he was going to be available, but, you know, once he became available, he's the guy. He's the top starting pitcher available. And you know, look, the Blue Jays certainly needed some help in the rotation. And I think this is a great move, a move that Toronto had to make. And obviously, you know, you're going to have to give up someone to get something. So Daniel Norris, you have to give him up. But I'd say it is well worth it with what potentially is on the line here.
In conversation with Fran Charles of MLB Network. If you are the Blue Jays and you have made the David Price deal, which is the David Price deal is a trade deadline acquisition. I think Alex tried to point out, and I think rightfully so, that the Troy Tulowitzki trade wasn't necessarily a trade deadline acquisition. He tried to do it last year. He tried to do it earlier in the spring. But if you're the Blue Jays, you have traded away a lot of pitching prospects to get a premier shortstop. You've added the top rental pitcher in the market. You have a team right now that still doesn't really have a prototypical leadoff guy, as long as Devin Travis is hurt, is right-hand heavy. You could probably use another left-handed bat. preferably a left-handed bat that would play left field. And you still got Aaron Sanchez and Roberto Osuna as your tandem closers. Fran, can Alex, is there still enough on the market for Alex to go and address one of those other issues?
Well, I definitely think, look, you could pick up a closer, and it depends on how much you want to give away here. But, I think Craig Kimbrel is obviously still in the mix. Aroldis Chapman is still in the mix. I'm not sure the Blue Jays are going to go that route. There are other pieces potentially in play. I think Justin Upton is in the mix. He's another guy who's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, so he would be a rental. But, I think the Tulowitzki move was another really good move. I was working that night with Harold Reynolds and Dan Plesac when that trade went down. And we all thought maybe there was another team in the mix that we hadn't, potentially we had yet to hear about, because we figured the Blue Jays' offense isn't really an issue for them in terms of where they are right now, trying to strike while it's hot to get to the postseason. But that was Tuesday night, so there's still 3 or 4 days left with the trade deadline coming up to make some more news. And Dan got a text while we were on the air saying, from somebody in the Blue Jays organization saying, we're not done, meaning that they obviously were going to go out and see if they could pull the trigger on maybe one, or maybe two more deals. So we still have, about 24 hours left. It's been a wild week. It's been a lot of fun. But the Blue Jays, I think, certainly have put themselves in prime position. Definitely. I mean, they're 2 games back on the wild card, so you can easily make that up. And I wouldn't rule out the AL East as well. It depends on how hot the team gets here heading into August and September.
Fran Charles of MLB Network joins us on Primetime Sports. He will host MLB tonight leading up to the Tigers and Orioles, and then tomorrow MLB Network's live trade deadline coverage. Hopefully you have something to talk about, which will start tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. It's available to Rogers customers on Channel 415. Fran, the New York Yankees got some bad news today. Michael Pineda being scratched from his start tonight with forearm tightness. We all know what forearm tightness is sometime leads to, which would be, God, for a kid who's already had his share of troubles, would be just awful. But does this, do you think, make the Yankees go after somebody like a James Shields or an Andrew Cashner now?
I definitely think that the Yankees are going to try to figure out if they can make something happen here, which also it probably makes the David Price move to Toronto just hurt a little bit more. But, to me, you have to give Joe Girard. I know the Yankees have made the playoffs the last couple of years, but he kept him relevant the last couple of years, even though they didn't make the postseason for 5 months, of the season. And now I don't think too many people thought they'd be in the position that they're in right now. And obviously, who knew that A-Rod was going to, be the player who he's been so far this year. And also they thought Mark Teixeira is back. And so they've definitely, I think, exceeded expectations, but they're the Yankees, so they're definitely in it. I wouldn't be surprised if the Yankees try and see if they can peel off another starter here. Because the back end of their bullpen is really sharp. I think the key for the Yankees is going to be whether these guys, they've got a lot of their offensive production from the long ball. If these guys can keep it going. Even when Alex started off the season hot, I think the question then became, okay, he's doing well now, but he's going to be 40 years old. Can he keep it going? Well, he certainly proved a lot of people wrong. Mark Teixeira, obviously, I think that wrist is no longer an issue. It takes a while sometimes for guys to get fully healed. But I think that the question for them is going to be, can they continue to get production from the spots that they are getting it as the season winds down? But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by anything that Brian Cashman and the Yankees come up with here within the next 24 hours or so.
Is there another team or a team in particular you guys will be watching tomorrow during the trade deadline coverage? Any team that is particularly interesting?
Is there another team? I think potentially Houston could be a team looking to see if they can add another starter. There are reports out there that they really want to call Hamels, and Hamels had a no-trade clause. Had a few teams, I think 8 or 9 teams, that he agreed to go to. The Astros weren't on that list, and even though the Astros wanted him, he did not, for whatever reason, want to go there. He's obviously on his way to Texas. So the Astros could be a team, I think, that potentially could add a starter. The White Sox are interesting, too, because I think they were kind of in the same position that the Tigers were coming into the week, as to make the decision whether they were going to be buyers or sellers. And then all of a sudden, right now, they're hot. You know, they've won seven in a row. They've got Chris Sale on the hill tonight, just 2.5 games back from that second wild card. So they could be an interesting team to watch as well. I'm trying to think of the National League. I think the National League is pretty set. It's interesting right now, the way the National League breaks down with the Nats, Cardinals, and Dodgers all in first right now, and Pittsburgh and San Fran holding the two wild card spots. That was the postseason picture from the National League a year ago as well. So Cubbies are in the mix. Maybe the Cubs could do something, but the Mets, I know that they thought they had Gomez, and that trade fell apart. But I don't expect like Arizona or Atlanta or any of those teams to do anything. So I think with the two wild cards, it makes it, especially for fans, it makes it much more exciting because, let's face it, I mean, last year you had two wild card teams that made it all the way to the World Series, and the Royals were obviously one win away from winning the whole thing. So it puts a little bit more pressure on your club when, you know, all you got to do is get there to have an opportunity. And that's why I love what the Blue Jays have done here.
Fran, it was great of you to join us today. I look forward to your work tomorrow. Should still be interesting. Hopefully, hopefully some of there's some deals out there that don't get made, you know, like 2 or 3 in the morning. If you're going to do that, you might as well wait till 10 when you guys go on.
Absolutely, right? No doubt. Appreciate it.
All right.
Enjoy, man. It's a fun time in Toronto.
It absolutely is. Take care. It's Fran Charles of the MLB Network. And again, he will host MLB tonight leading up to the Tigers and Orioles. And MLB Network's live trade deadline coverage starts tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. You can see it on Rogers on channel 415. Our trade deadline coverage, well, we'll have it with throughout the morning on the radio station and Baseball Central and primetime as well tomorrow. But I believe the trade deadline coverage starts at, do we have 3:30 on Sportsnet? Do we know, guys? Sportsnet's trade deadline special tomorrow. And I'm just telling you, everything I'm hearing from people is that Alex is going to make another move. And I'm hearing it's a reliever. I don't pretend to know who it is, but the same people who told me Alex was going to make a spectacular deal are indicating that he's still probably in the market for a relief pitcher. So again, just to get you caught up and let you know what we're going to do, Daniel Norris, Matt Boyd, Jairo Labour traded to the Detroit Tigers for 2 months of David Price. We are expected to be joined by Daniel Norris in a few minutes, by the way. David Price, a rental player, he's eligible for free agency, could start Sunday against the Kansas City Royals. An outside chance he could start Monday against the Minnesota Twins. We will have Blue Jays baseball tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and all the Sportsnet regional channels. The first of four against the Kansas City Royals at the Rogers Center. The place ought to be hopping after what happened last night with Troy Tulowitzki making his Blue Jays debut, a home run, a defensive gem, and a couple of doubles. You know, we got to talk to Daniel Norris a couple of times over the course of spring training last year and this year. And I think it's safe to say that a lot of people in this city developed a real affinity for Daniel Norris. And I know even when Daniel Norris was sent down to AAA Buffalo, you know, you'd still have, it's funny, you'd be sitting in the press box and somebody would walk by and say, hey, did you see what Norris did? He got 5 innings. And it was always a topic of conversation, which is, you know, a good thing. It's a good thing when people don't forget about you, when people keep their eye on you. Daniel Norris joins us on Primetime Sports. Daniel, thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Just your initial reaction to the deal. I guess the first question, how did you find out? I mean, it was all over social media. I don't know if you were paying any attention to that. I don't know if your agent talked to you, but when did you first get a hint that it might happen, and when did you finally find out that you were going to the Detroit Tigers?
You know what? I really appreciate it from the Blue Jays organization. They had called me well before it had, I guess, been released on social media, so I found out from Alex himself. And from my standpoint, I really appreciate that. That meant a lot to me just for him to say, you know, hey, you're going
Mm-hmm.
I'm very respectful.
You know what? We're gonna call you back. We've got a shaky line. There's probably in the van driving to Baltimore. That's where they are. They're in Baltimore. You like that, right, Jen? You like the way I'm driving the van? It's about the only thing I haven't done today is drive a van. I'm available for that. So again, Daniel Norris, we'll get him back on the line. Okay. Daniel, sorry about that. We had some issues here. But yeah, you talked about your finding out that you were dealt to Detroit. When did Alex let you know?
He let me know well before that it was released on social media, which I thought was, you know, very, that was awesome. That was really cool on his part.
Mm-hmm.
I respect that a lot. Just that way I could, you know, hear from him. So that's great.
What's it feel like to be traded at this stage of your career?
To be honest, it's exciting. I'm excited for a new opportunity. I think when it all settles, yeah, it might be kind of weird, but the fact of the matter is, it's a new opportunity and it's a new team and it's an exciting team. And, you know, I'm stoked for it. Obviously, I'm gonna miss Toronto. I'm gonna miss the fan base and all my buddies there. And, you know, it's tough part. Such an awesome. Just an awesome group of people to be around. That'll be tough, but it's kind of part of life. So, I plan on hitting the ground running.
Have the Tigers told you whether you will report to the major league team? Have they given you an indication of what their immediate plans are for you?
Yeah, they actually told me I'm going to be starting Sunday at Baltimore. That's also very exciting.
So you weren't kidding when you said hit the ground running. You're going to be starting Sunday in Baltimore.
Yeah.
What did you work on when you were down in AAA? What is different about you now, Daniel, than compared to the guy who was sent down by the Blue Jays?
I think the main difference for me is just I'm 100% healthy now. When I was up there in April, I didn't have my velocity. My stuff wasn't there, and I was laboring through every outing. And now, since I've been down here, even though, you know, sometimes the results aren't exactly what I want, I've kind of been to the point where, you know, don't necessarily focus on the results and get worried about how many runs I'm giving up or if a couple of ground balls are sneaking through. You know, just that stuff's going to play itself out. And, you know, I'm just thankful to be back to feeling good on the mound, you know, arm-wise, body-wise, and being able to control what I can control. And, you know, at the end of the day, I just have to be better at executing pitches. But, you know, being back out there with, you know, my stuff back, that's all I can ask for, just be healthy, go out there and I can compete with what I have, my best stuff to offer.
Listen, Daniel, we appreciate you joining us today. I know that it's a hectic day. As I said, and I meant these words, we talked in spring training. We had you up in the booth, and we were doing the Jeff Blair Show from spring training. It was a lot of fun talking to you. It was a lot of fun watching you pitch. I really, and I think I can say this for a lot of Blue Jays fans, really want you to have a great deal of success in Detroit.
I really appreciate it. And just a big thank you to all of Toronto. Just a warm welcome and everything when I was there, and, you know, I'll miss you guys, but we'll see you on the other side.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right. See you.
It's Daniel Norris, who will be starting for the Detroit Tigers on Saturday against the Baltimore Orioles. Daniel Norris, Hyrule Labour, and Matt Boyd going to the Detroit Tigers. The Tigers needing to replenish their minor league system after probably 3 or 4 years of being in go-for-it mode. And the interesting thing about the Tigers, when you look at the pitchers they've lost or the pitchers they've given away or traded away or left through free agency in the past couple of years, Doug Fister, Max Scherzer, and now David Price. In the case of Scherzer and Price, two of the best pitchers of their generation, certainly in the case of Price. And you might sit there and say, all right, the Detroit Tigers, they are in full-fledged rebuilding mode. But actually, I like what David Dombrowski said. They're more in reboot mode than rebuilding mode for a couple of reasons. One, still a hell of a good lineup. Still going to score a lot of runs. Two, it's the type of ballpark where you can put together an effective pitching staff relatively quickly because it is a pitcher's park. Secondly, you've got an owner with a lot of money. You've got an owner that the organization and the city wants to see win, frankly, before he dies. I mean, Mike Gillich has bankrolled that team for a long time. So don't think for a minute that the Detroit Tigers are going to be 3 or 4 years away from being competitive again. I can tell you right now that the Detroit Tigers are going to be back. They're going to be back very quickly. And I wouldn't at all be surprised if Daniel Norris is part of things when they get back. Breaking news from Jack Curry on, yes, the New York Yankees just acquired Dustin Ackley from the Seattle Mariners, according to sources. So the New York Yankees making an addition to their lineup. They've got some pitching concerns, especially given the status of Michael Pineda. What is the Detroit Tigers' point of view on this deal? I gave you my opinion, my impression of their point of view. Jason Beck covers the Tigers for MLB.com. Let's see what they're saying about the David Price deal in the Motor City. Jason Beck joins us when Primetime Sports continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet.
It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan. Let's go. Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more of what you want to hear on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Primetime Sports. Paul Jones will join me in a few minutes. It's my co-host, Bob McCowan, by the way, will be back on Monday. 5 o'clock, Buck Martinez, TV voice of the Blue Jays, will join us. Jerry Stackhouse at 5:35. Going to just take a little, break from baseball coverage to talk to the new Raptors assistant coach. So just throwing that in there. And then at 6 o'clock, we'll be back at it. Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports will join us. 6:15, Pat Henkin. You're going to have an ace talking about an ace. You want to know about David Price, the pitcher? Pat Henkin's a pretty good guy to talk about that. And then at 6:35, Mike Wilner will join us. And we will get you set for the first pitch tonight from the Rogers Center. At 7 o'clock, the Kansas City Royals. Danny Duffy on the mound for the Royals. Marco Estrada for the Blue Jays. No indication yet as to when David Price will pitch. Alex Anthopoulos did note at his news conference today that Sunday starter for the Blue Jays is TBA. I would think you would probably want to keep David Price on his regular turn, although it's David Price. You may even, if you're the Blue Jays, just wait till he gets here and say, what do you want to do? Do you want to start in your regular turn? Or do you want to get yourself acclimated and go Monday against the Minnesota Twins, which wouldn't be the worst thing, considering right now, at least, the Twins are the team immediately in front of you. So we've pretty much covered this trade, I think, all day, as much as you can from the Toronto point of view. Our conversation with Daniel Norris before the break revealed that Daniel Norris will start for the Detroit Tigers on Sunday. But what else do the Tigers see in this deal? They've got three left-handed pitching prospects, Jairo Labour, a guy who was quietly working his way up the Blue Jays organizational chain, much as Matt Boyd had done, and Daniel Norris, who, as we all know, was widely considered to be the Blue Jays' number one prospect, pitching, or position player. Jason Beck covers the Tigers for MLB.com. Jason Beck joins us on Primetime Sports. Jason, thanks a lot for doing this today. Give us the abridged version of the Detroit Tigers' view of this trade.
Version is getting pitching now that can help them next year and beyond for a pitcher who is not going to be back here next year.
Was there at all, in your mind, any chance that David Price re-signed with Detroit? And in fact, he's still there's no reason the Tigers can't make a play for him, I don't think. But were there any discussions at all about an extension, or were there any indications that the Tigers might have a shot at re-signing David Price?
No. I mean, they were so far apart when they talked in spring training that, even though they kept in touch, I don't think it was ever seriously revisited. The market that's going to be out there for Price was just so far outside of what the Tigers were looking at. And it's kind of similar to what happened with Scherzer last year. When you get that close to free agency, any idea of a discount goes out the window. You're pretty much paying close to, if not full market value nowadays for a guy who's 1 year out. You realize that from the get-go. And while David and his agent were friendly about it, I think they rightfully had a price in mind, no pun intended, and they were going to have to get in that neighborhood for talks to progress in there.
Jason, how far apart were they? What was the ask and what was the offer? As much as we know about it,
I never got the exact numbers. All I know is that both sides basically said they were basically in different leagues.
Okay.
I mean, it was that far apart. And this isn't anything firm, but I've always had the impression that David Price would be looking for and would warrant a Max Scherzer type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a good range right around there. And I think where the Tigers would be at would probably be somewhere closer to what they were offering Max. And if you remember, what Scherzer got and what Scherzer was offered here was about a $60 million difference.
Right.
Total.
Right.
So I certainly can imagine the Tigers going higher than that for David. If they were close enough, they would have kept talking.
Sure.
And there weren't substantive conversations after spring training from everything household.
Joined by Jason Beck of MLB.com. He is the Tigers beat reporter for MLB.com. What are the Tigers saying about the prospects they got from the Blue Jays? And what is your sense, Jason, of who might have been the other team in this? Everything we're led to believe is that it was the Los Angeles Dodgers and that they weren't willing to include either of their top two prospects in this.
Question I got, and Dave, Dombrowski, without saying specifically to Dodgers, did make a point to mention that in their talks that there were teams that they had conversations with, that there were teams that made offers and there were teams that were not willing to include prospects that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to me to be a pretty clear reference to the Dodgers, who everybody knows have a prized pitching prospect in Julio Urias and a prized hitting prospect, positional prospect in Corey Seager. I think the Tigers wanted and expected to get at least one of those guys, probably just one.
Right.
And both those guys, from my understanding, were off the table. So without one of those, I think the attention turned to Toronto in no small part because the prospects they had, even if they didn't rank quite as highly, were close to major league ready in the case of Norris and Boyd, guys that the Tigers could look at and plug into the rotation right away or sometime before opening day. Norris is obviously going in right away. They think Boyd can compete for a spot in the spring.
It's interesting. I look at the Tigers, and we know that David Dombrowski yesterday described what he's doing as a reboot, and we can get into an argument about semantics, reboot, rebuild. But I look at that team, and I look at that ballpark. This could be a pretty easy reboot, couldn't it? And what I mean by that, it could be a pretty fast reboot. Let me rephrase that. It could be a pretty fast reboot because it's not like that's a roster that is completely falling apart. It's getting older, that's true, but it's not as if it's completely falling apart at the seams, is it?
Right. And, you've dealt with Dave, and kind of how he chooses his words very carefully on things like that. There's a reason why they say reboot instead of rebuild. Some of it's obviously from a marketing standpoint, but I think they do believe that this team can stay competitive and compete for a playoff spot sooner rather than later. Now, part of that's going to depend on the Royals and the Twins, because I think that kind of gets lost, that those are two teams that aren't going away anytime soon, no matter how you see the Royals situation playing out with some of their guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they saw the depth and young talent. I think the Tigers' chances next year, you have to look at it twofold. One is getting guys healthy and productive again, and by that you look at Cabrera, Verlander, and Victor Martinez primarily. I think the other part is they need the young pitching, at least some of the members of the young pitching, to make some big steps. Norris and Boyd obviously fit into that. Shane Green has to be a huge part of that. Bruce Rondon and some of the younger guys who are going to be competing in the bullpen have to make some steps. That's where they fell this year. It was as much injuries as it was not getting the production they needed from some of the cost-controllable starters and relievers that they've had. It didn't go like they expected, and they had a hard time keeping the ball in the ballpark. And Anibal Sanchez should be included among the injuries too, now that I think of it.
Were you surprised when David came out and said they were rebooting? Because, you know, I look at the standings, and this is what I told people a couple of weeks ago. Everybody's talking about David Price. I'm saying, it's not like the Tigers are out of the wild card race. I mean, they're only a game and a half behind the Jays.
I'm a bit surprised, but not – I wouldn't say anywhere near shot. You know, it was pretty clear, and it was pretty strongly hinted at that this final week or two – Or in the larger picture, you know, the stretch since the All-Star break, that really was a chance for the Tigers to prove that they had a run in them to make a race out of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't go anywhere near what the team hoped for or planned. They had good games, but they couldn't put together the winning streak. And that way, they won a lot like large stretches of the season. And when you compound the injuries, they were hoping for a bigger response from this team than what they got. And I don't mean that as to say that the Tigers didn't care, the players didn't care. You talk to guys like Ian Kinsler today and other veterans who are expected to stick around, and I think there's a frustration on their part that it came to this and that they have to look in the mirror. I think Justin Verlander said that yesterday, that you know they don't have to look far to figure out who's to blame for this. But it ended up being more of the same as opposed to being a spur to and get this team motivated.
Jason, we are going to let you run. Get ready for a game. Thank you so much for doing this, as always. It's good to talk to you again.
Always good to talk to you, Jeff. Take care.
Take care. That's Jason Beck. Does a terrific job covering the Tigers for MLB.com. And the Detroit Tigers, that's their point of view of this deal. Daniel Norris, Jairo Labour, Matt Boyd going to the Detroit Tigers. Daniel Norris will start for the Tigers on Sunday in Camden Yards against the Baltimore Orioles. Of course, David Price. The price for those three prospects, he will start for the Toronto Blue Jays either on Sunday or Monday. David Price not expected in uniform tonight. He was in Baltimore with the Detroit Tigers when that trade was made. Buck Martinez is the TV voice of the Blue Jays. Jeff Passan is Yahoo Sports MLB columnist. Pat Henkin, I don't need to tell you who Pat Henkin is. Mike Wilner, you know who he is as well. And Jerry Stackhouse, he's a new Toronto Raptors assistant coach. All of them are ahead, along with my co-host, Paul Jones. It's Primetime Sports on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.